Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 8th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. It is, I'm just happy to be here. We're in Augusta. We're together. It was a great Sunday. It was a great Sunday at golf. I had a great Sunday personally. I don't know about you.
What happened?
Well, I don't want to put words.
Day.
Yeah, I had a pleasant day. It was a great day of golf. And it's the start of the Masters. Like, what isn't there to be excited about in the golf world?
We had a great day of actual golf. I mean, on the PGA Tour. On, quite honestly, a thrilling finish on the LIV Tour. Amusement. Me and Dean Burmeister putting Sergio Garcia in a body bag in a playoff down in Doral.
We got to start the campaign. Is there an asterisk? Because Mean Dean Burmeister is not in the field.
An asterisk on the green jacket?
Yeah.
This year's green jacket? Yeah.
You got to ask the question. Asking
questions.
Does this Masters field lack juice because Mean Dean is not there?
We're not rolling in. But the greatest golfer...
Garrett, what do you think? Garrett's in the room. What do you think?
Asterisk. He's a big Stainers fan over there, apparently.
It seems like somebody's playing to the Live Bots. He's trying to get the Live Bots on his side.
But we, Mean Dean, will not be in the field. And inarguably maybe. I think the greatest golfer in the world is not in the field this week, and that is Nelly Korda.
Hold on. I don't want to jump here.
I
feel like we've pushed something off for a couple episodes. I don't want it to get buried here. This is important.
What?
I got a message from somebody who was hoping that this would get buried. The excitement of Masters would bury this.
What is it?
And we've pushed it off for two episodes. I'm just gonna read about the New York Golf Club logo.
Oh.
The TGL team.
You're ambushing us here at the top.
I'm ambushing. I don't
want to. What better way to start Masters Week than a little New York Golf Club?
We're the preeminent TGL
All
pod.
Right, the preeminent, yeah. The eminent pre-post.
NYGC's logo is inspired by New York State Bird, the Eastern Bluebird.
I thought the logo wasn't bad.
Well, the club was left-handed. And none of the players on the team are left-handed.
Seems like a problem.
Fair
critique.
And they probably paid $300,000 for that logo. It seems like something that should have been pointed out. Well, this club's left-handed. These birds are commonly found where forests meet fields. I mean, there's a lot of places in the world where forest meets field.
That is the most ambiguous sort of description.
And particularly on golf courses.
Okay.
Our design features a dynamic swinging club crafted in the form of a wing with four grooves, one for each of the players. Now, the team is Ricky,
Xander,
Fitzy, and Cam Young, Bronx's own Cam Young. Which one do you think is the bottom groove?
Cam from the bottom.
Would you rather be the bottom or the top groove?
I have no opinion on this. I think I've found a subject on which I have no take. I have takes about the eclipse. I don't want to get into those right now. I don't care. Who's the bottom groove? Fitzy, maybe.
The most important player that's gotten the bottom groove? It seems like it probably that's the first groove to wear
like
out.
The bottom of the pyramid that, the cheerleader, like if that goes, everybody else comes tumbling down.
You should have to label who's on each groove if they each stand for one player, Finally, let's wrap this up. The
Xander's
circle,
quote. Go ahead.
The circle pays homage to the circles on our scorecards and the iconic NYC subway circle. Just circles on scorecards, subway circle.
Circles, just sort of just, that just rare shape in the world that you just can't find anywhere.
Just
love
it.
Except on a scorecard and the subway.
That might be my favorite part of it. What was Xander's quote?
It was something about grit. I New York to me symbolizes grit, and that's what I have. And just like just this term that's become so hollow. Grit doesn't mean anything at this point. We're innovating for no reason. We're making logos for no reason. We're making sort of overcomplicated descriptions for no reason, for logos that shouldn't have a reason. We're just innovating for the sake of innovating, and no one not a single soul in the world asked for this. There's not a person that rolled out of bed in the last month of their life that said, I need an intricate description of a logo for New York Golf Club. No one asked for this, but this is the way golf has sort of evolved in the last few years. Innovation for the sake of innovation.
Listen, I had to do this. I couldn't let my mortal rival team, my rival franchise,
Boston, New York,
my Ball Frogs, they are, I can't cross the street without thinking about how much I dislike this New York Golf Club.
I'm glad they have a roster. It seems like it's good. It seems like they've got a team. They filled it out. They're getting there. At least Cam Young has an attachment to the streets of New York.
All right. So. You know what the world, you just said what the world didn't need.
What?
You know what the golf world did need?
What?
A woman just like super duper star putting on a crazy run of performance. Like, this is amazing. Four in a row. We started the week talking about like, man, like what a bummer. She's got three in a row and she's going for four. And it's a match play event, like fluky event. Anything can happen. Hardest type of event to win in golf is a match play event because like anything can happen. Like you can lose to anybody any day. Like you could shoot 65 and lose. And she goes and just dusts the field, completely dusts the field. Dominant performance, beats Leona McGuire in the final. Nelly Korda, like,
yeah, it's like, we just saw this with Caitlin Clark. Like, she's the most dominant golfer in the world right now. It's just what the LPGA needed. We're starting Masters Week after two amazing finishes in both LIV and obviously the PGA Tour was crazy. She's been that good that a regular season LPGA event like should kind of headline this start of Masters Week. We've got a bunch of amusing scuttlebutt. We're going to empty the notebook here at the end of some tidbits we heard about town in Augusta, maybe some dress code policies.
Unsubstantiated rumors.
Substantiated, unsubstantiated. We'll empty the notebook. We'll get to the Masters. But Nelly Korda, it's interesting. She's now done it in every format, multiple different kinds of venues. The conditions this week were crazy at that match play. She shot 73 the first two rounds. Interesting format. They do stroke play, then knock it down to eight. Shot 73. Needed a little bit of help on the Friday. I think she got a good side of the draw. And then it got nuts in the afternoon with the wind, like went up to 30 miles an hour, rain sideways. It was like 55 degrees. So she kind of, I don't want to say snuck in, but she shot 73, wasn't looking good, sneaks into the match play portion, and then it was like curtains from there. So this is the kind of dominance you want from really for any golf tour. If you want to kind of have a breakthrough personality, a Caitlin Clark type, whatever it is, Nelly had already broken through. It's not like she's a nobody, of course, but this is the kind of dominant run that sort of takes her and the sport to the next level. And quite honestly, the first women's major probably can't get here soon enough for her. And
is
it a major? Separate question. We'll talk about Chevron.
She'll jump in the water?
I think you have to. We'll get to that next week.
I don't think I would. I don't trust the alligator fencing. All right.
I wouldn't either. I don't think I would either. What's the most amusing thing you heard today walking around? We did a little. We checked in at Augusta. It looked beautiful. We're going to talk about Anwa. It looks in great shape. We're going to then bounce back to Texas. What's one thing just to give people a sort of an appetizer of some Augusta notes that you heard?
Like one of the most amusing things that I heard was just like no mania. Just no mania is is off and running.
It's not.
It seems like it's just getting crazier every year. They can't keep these things in the merch tent. People are walking out with you know, 20 at a time. And the gnomes have reached a fever pitch. I don't know what that means for America as a society with the undertones of gnomes, but we're here. That's the amusing thing that I heard. What about you?
Golf television ratings may be down, but gnome fervor is as high as ever. They're just ripping. Apparently, we were told first day the merch shop was open, they were all gone in under 2 hours.
Well, I think that they're held back. There's an allotment each day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that every gnome on the property was gone, but the allotment for the day is flying off the shelves in the first 2 hours. An amusing tidbit. I don't know. We heard a bunch of different stuff. Oh, I heard a good one. An amateur who's in the field, you know, figuratively, not literally, figuratively, cursing the name of Bryson DeChambeau because he's capped at 5 practice rounds. That I don't know if we'd heard the total. We knew Bryson just, once you qualify, Bryson going like ham on that access. I knew that they had put a cap on it because he played here, you know, 5 days a week when it was open. Once he had qualified, it was 5 rounds. Apparently, an amateur he wasn't upset, but he was just like, yeah, you know, you'd like to, it's a good course. It's tough to figure out quickly. You'd like to play it a little bit. And he said, I think you're capped at 5 practice rounds if you're an amateur. Thanks to Bryson. Whenever it was, he won that USAM and just came to Augusta, you know, 30 times in that intervening year. Good little scuttlebutt. We have more.
We'll save some more for later.
We have some more proprietary.
Up the book.
Proprietary stuff. Speaking of proprietary, we have our own blend, our own Good Walk coffee blend, the Shotgun Start blend, fried egg blend. We are stocked up at the house.
We're at the Dratty House.
Yes.
We are absolutely stocked with coffee.
Like,
to the gills.
Overstocked? No, we'll be handing these things out.
Yeah, we're going to be giving out bags like it's candy this week. I mean, it's like, it's great. It's a great situation. The thing that's the most amazing is the coffee machine they've dropped off.
It's amazing. It's very fancy. Maybe too fancy for two idiots to figure out how to work. But we apparently started. It's a Jura. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. A lot of buttons. It's big.
It grinds it and then makes the coffee. Yep. It can deliver us a multitude of drinks, but it brews great coffee.
Yeah. So if you want to support the podcast, look, we have a good deal. We've neglected to kind of share some of the specifics of this deal.
Apologies for anybody that ordered this. Well, we forgot about the promo code.
You go to goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun to see all that you can order there. But use the code SGS at checkout. Gets you 20% off your entire order. All of it. 20% off.
Is it one time or multiple use?
It's a one time.
It's a one time use.
But when you subscribe, and this is how you can support the podcast, your recurring subscription, when you subscribe, you get 10% off. So use that code, you get 30% off your first time order. Subscribers always get that recurring 10% off, but it's a combined with the code SGS, you get 30% off. That's goodwalkcoffee.com.
We got
shotgun.
Light, we got dark. I think we're going to try and add pods later. If you use pods,
yeah, you put the grinds.
I mean, upgrade your pods by getting one of those reusables,
yeah,
and put the grounds in. I used to have a Keurig. I did that, and the coffee's a lot better. Like whether you're ordering it from us,
yeah,
or you're getting it from a local place, like you're gonna enjoy your cup of coffee more.
Yep. Look, we're trying not to bombard you with ads for this podcast. We never want to do that. This is a way to support the podcast. Hopefully get something you use, a coffee. You usually probably drink that and kind of help us get to places like the Masters and support where we want to go. So,
and there's a promo code.
Yep, SGS. Forgot to mention that. I don't know if the first week or plus that there was a promo code. Whoops. All right, goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun. Let's go to the Texas Open. The Charlie Hoffman Open.
Connors couldn't get it done.
Week started with iconic fist pumps. It ends with an injurious fist pump.
An iconic Akshay in its own right. It
throws his shoulder out. Pops his shoulder
bad
out.
Bad moment for golfers as athletes.
I mean,
non-contact injury with a fist pump.
Didn't Bo Van Pelt's career
Are you worried about Augusta? Can you play?
I think he's fine. There were some people like getting real worked up at him. Like he was faking an injury. He was being soft. Like, why is he having the physio out there? The physio looked like he just played around the drive, chip, and putt this morning. Look, 10 years old, comes out, puts some tape on it or something.
Upside down Dallas hat.
Yes. He had on like the 5-inch inseam shorts that were too tight, like all the bros, was, you know, 19-year-old boys wearing.
It was the perfect physio for Akshay. Yeah. It was just perfect. They might have had the same model glasses. They might have gone and bought glasses together.
They did have the same. That's a good point. Just a crazy finish.
They got a 2-for-1 deal.
Denny McCarthy comes in 28, makes 8 birdies in 9 holes, puts the lights out. Rick Gaiman, Rick Rungood, had an amazing stat. Denny McCarthy and Akshay Bhatia both gained 21.15 strokes on the field this week. It would have been good enough to win each of the last 167 PGA Tour events, including majors. Now,
I mean, they were 9 clear of Rory, who's in third.
That's a pure SG strokes gained analysis. Like, there's whatever. But, yes, that's the most in the last.
They were 9 clear of third place. Yep.
And amazing. And, like, I love McCarthy. Like, he's one of those guys, those heat check guys on tour is, like, amazing once he gets going. He's got, and it's fabulous to watch.
And, like, the thing about Denny,
Rockville, Maryland zone.
I think the thing about Denny that's super impressive is he'll do it in like the worst conditions.
Yeah.
Like he did it today in good weather, but he'll go out and shoot like a 65 in a 30 mile an hour wind. You're like, wait, how did he do that?
Yep. Yep. I think it was incredibly impressive for Bhatia. Like you have a guy going like curry mode on you.
Shot 5 under.
Yeah. And you hold him off. You've got the injury issue going on. The putt on the last. I find
he didn't have the injury issue going on until the playoff.
Yeah, the last wedge. But it's all part of the deal to get it across the line here.
I just want to point out throughout the day. He didn't have the injury issue until after regulation.
That's true, but he still had to play that hole. He got the fortuitous break of Denny McCarthy just laying the sod over an 80-yard wedge. I felt so bad. Both these guys, I find, you know what? The tour needed a Sunday where it was like the golf was just was the show in and of itself. Both these guys seem like pretty endearing. I'm not going to say they're going to make the ratings any better.
No.
But they seem like good guys worth rooting for. Love everything they say pretty much. Akshay is like, I find, incredibly impressive. Denny seems like a great dude. And I don't know. It was just like a good Sunday that the PGA Tour needed. Do I think it's going to affect ratings? I don't. Probably not. But I thought it was a great show as we roll into another week where the golf should be the priority.
Yeah, I think both these guys, like Denny, it wasn't easy getting to the tour. He had to grind, and he went through it, and he's, without being prodigiously long off the tee, has worked himself into, he's not a world-class player, but he's a damn good player. He's not a mule.
No.
He is a very good PGA Tour player who has not won yet. Plays hard courses exceptionally well. And then you got Akshay, who, listen, like he's 22. He was a phenom. He was an unbelievable junior player. He turned pro and took lumps. And I just think, like, those moments, like, some people, they will, that type of, like, struggle that he endured would crush so many guys, and he comes out the other side not that long. Like he took 2 years of like a beating, and he came out the other side of like pro golf's hard, but like now he is without a doubt a better player because he endured that. He's probably a better person because of it, and I just think he's a very interesting personality and player moving forward for the tour. Like, I mean, he blew the doors off this field outside of Denny. Like, I mean, I think like you look at the players too, like in the mix that, Rory. You know, Rory, Hideki, I mean, I'm going to breeze over Todd. Russell Henley's No slouch. Tommy Fleetwood, obviously, like Ben Martin, T7. That's gonna earn him a bunch of starts that we don't necessarily want. You got Spieth and Fitzpatrick in the top 10. Like, these are guys that played well this week and had literally no chance of winning this tournament on Sunday.
And that's like the first tee, it seemed like, on Sunday.
Yes.
I mean,
he was six. Six clear?
I think he was six, yeah.
I mean, it took Denny McCarthy going blacking out on the back nine to even make this a playoff, because this wasn't a guy who had a six-shot lead who shot even par. This was a guy who had a six-shot lead who shot the fourth best round of the day, T4 on the day. With a six-shot lead, and he was in a playoff. I mean, that's insane.
Yep. I found him, you know, it's weird. He does it for me with some of his, he's got some cliches and a lot of robotic answers, but he really does. Did you see him
pop he's
22. The tour? Did you see him pop the PGA?
No, what'd he say?
Kyle Porter shared this. Probably not what you wanted to hear if you're, you know, the tour is the end all be all. If I win, that's great. I mean, it gets me closer to my goal. It doesn't mean the world to me. I didn't grow up playing on the PGA Tour necessarily just to win just PGA Tour events. I grew up playing and dreaming of winning majors. That's kind of my main focus for the years to come. So he says this Saturday night. He's like, if I win tomorrow, like, cool. But that's not the goal. And now he is in the Masters. To your point about McCarthy being a bona fide not mule, he was already in by via top 50 in status.
I want to clarify too, correction here, on the fly correction.
Okay.
He had a 4-shot lead.
I thought it was
over McCarthy,
but it was
a 4-shot lead. I want to correct this.
Wow,
this is not the
ombudsman.
This is not the place for
factual and accuracy.
100% factual accuracy.
Sure.
If we were going to have, we'd have one of those Twitter warnings. This was not factually correct. I saw it over the Race G Rice. Did you see that?
Oh, what? Somebody
tweeted about how much weed he had in his car like over the felony charge, and they clearly misconstrued Graham's announces. So I there's a huge warning.
God.
Warning, this is not factually correct. This is actually a misdemeanor.
I thought that was an interesting quote from him on Saturday. He's like, I'm in it to win majors. He's now in it. He talks about his mom wanting him to get in the Masters, and for her birthday, he gets it in. It's just like, I don't know. It was a cool, crazy Sunday of golf. His putt on 18 in regulation didn't look super hard, but still, given the circumstances, he's got to make it, and it wasn't short.
Well, just think about like how much you want to like turtle in that moment.
Yeah.
Like you got to be thinking, like, stuff going through your head is like, I cannot believe I'm losing this tournament. Everything over the last like six holes went completely against him.
Yeah.
And he's got one putt. It's not a gimme. It was a pretty long putt.
Yeah.
And he fucking cans it. I mean, that was unbelievable.
Throws his shoulder out.
Then pops his shoulder out. Not a great moment.
Seems like a thing he has had happen or something in the past. We mentioned.
Hey, can I one other thing?
Yeah.
Huge winner of today.
What?
Augusta National.
Why?
Akshay.
Yeah.
First drive chip putt alumni.
Yeah.
I mean, this is
10-year anniversary of that.
This
or
is
the
going
start of it, debut.
I'm
like
just going to call this out right now. I might have started it, tweeted it right after catnip call of the week.
The DCP stuff.
I mean, you're going to see so many Akshay DCP photos.
I mean, in a way, like
full
it's
circle,
a badge of honor for Augusta National, right? I think Shackelford can be, I called him cantankerous on a pod, and took offense to that, you know, label at one point. He can be, has standards. He's not just everything lovey-dovey. He loves the drive, chip, and putt.
He wrote it
up in his newsletter you should subscribe to. He wrote it up like how he's charmed by it. The point of it wasn't to create future like tour players, but in this instance, they have a great story, and it is a badge that I think Augusta National should probably wear pretty well this week, with you know, and pump it up.
Do you think Akshay is going to go into like a big time pairing? I could see it.
They don't really do the big. Well, could be an elevated one.
Like into one of the big, say 10 names.
He could be
Tiger.
That could be. He could be with a former champ that I'm not sure should be in the field. Should maybe be in exile. A 2015 winner that maybe should have to go into exile the same way Phil did after he said those scary MF first quotes. After a blatant circumnavigation of the rules, or circumvention, that's the proper term. Now he went all the way around.
Is he a champ? Is he a former champ? I wouldn't know from the last few years.
What do you make? His name came up when you're reading the leaderboard. He hits it in front of a sewer. Clearly doesn't have a line to the green. Use it just goes wall ball, touch them all, I mean, to the gutter. Jordan Spieth, Saturday at Texas Open, clearly understands where he's going to get a drop from. Just takes a wedge, launches it up on the roof, gets the drop, and plays up. Like did not have the angle because of the sewer cover, or whatever, manhole deal. And he goes on the roof for the drop. I don't want to make it a bit. I don't want to be overdo it. It feels like a line that just a little too far. If he's using the rules to advantage, I guess that's fine.
Listen, I think everybody thinks they know where I'm going to go with this.
He should be excommunicated from the game. He shouldn't show his face at Augusta. Where are you going to go?
I'm going to swerve into traffic here. And I'm going to say that Jordan Spieth is doing us a service. It was such a preposterous shot, an incredible shot. I mean, I've never seen such a great TIO shot. It was so ridiculous that nobody could ignore it. I mean, he hit it. That was a monster building that he hit it like on the backside of the roof on. I mean, he launched it in there. Launched. It was not, there was no question of what he was trying to do. And I think what the reason that this was good for the game, Jordan Spieth is growing the game with his TIO shot because he is illuminating how preposterous and ridiculous the PGA Tour is with their championship management and what they deem out of bounds line. How is that building not out of bounds? This is not a Jordan Spieth issue. This is a PGA Tour issue. I mean, if we're at Augusta National, do you think that they would that would be in play and you'd get a free drop from that?
Wouldn't he have a structure within realm of possibility to be in play like that? We've heard about some new structures though.
But do you think at the Open they would have that building and mark that as TIO? It's out of bounds.
Yeah.
In what world is that not out of bounds? What world could it... Like, what sane individual who's out marking lines for a tournament deems that that is in play? Is that in play? How is that building... The building... What would you guess? Like, it's just based off the aerial...
Five stories.
What would you guess on the square footage? Like 100,000 square feet?
I was going to say like 50,000 or something. It doesn't look like the TPC Sawgrass, but it looked big.
How is this in play?
It's a JW Marriott. It's in the gutter.
How is it not out of bounds?
I mean, it's essentially like putting it on the fifth floor of a balcony of the Old Course Hotel on 17. You don't get to just like take, relief on the other side of the wall.
So
you're OB.
Did Jordan Spieth commit an egregious TIO?
It was intentional.
Intentional, intentionally egregious, scummy, whatever you want to say. Absolutely. But the problem, we need to identify the problem. Jordan Spieth's not the problem. He's doing his job. His job as a player is to get around a golf course in the fewest shots possible. And idiotic, the lack of golf intelligence person who deemed that to be in play is the problem here. The group person, whatever it may be, I can't in the realm of possibilities understand how a hotel is in play and what the justification of hitting it into a hotel means you get a free drop.
From an administration, championship administration standpoint, what's worse, that or having 3-point lines of different lengths painted on the court at the NCAA Women's Regional Final in Portland? And not noticing it until like day three.
I think the comp for this would be if like the back one side's baseline wasn't actually out of bounds.
Okay.
And they didn't tell anybody except for the players. And you're watching the game and you're like, wait, why are they throwing it to players out of bounds?
They're running laps around the stand.
They're running behind the hoop. They're peeking out from behind the hoop. Getting a ball, laying it in. And that, like, this is a preposterous rule.
On its face, it just doesn't jive, right? It doesn't work. It didn't seem like an appropriate relief, an appropriate path that he could have taken. And it just, I don't know if it does anything for him this week. Where are you? Were you a little anxious? The birdies started coming in bunches. There were spurts there. You had somebody sent you some meme or something, just a guy and then Augusta guy for one. Somebody who sent that to us was talking about it. We have to give proper credit. 1 week a year, he goes from just a guy to Augusta guy. And he puts you in a blender there with your take.
So he had that bad tee shot on whatever day it was. He was fourth off the tee in strokes gained this week, and he lost like two shots on one tee shot.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is scary shit, man.
Rory, T3 or solo three? Anything on him? I mean, just whatever. This is like a low stakes deal. You know, you just make a few swings, feel good about yourself, and go.
Listen.
So Spieth and Rory, and it factors. A good week in Texas.
I think that this is like, if you want to talk about mojo going into a major, there is nothing better than a really high finish where you hit a lot of great approach shots, where you feel really good about where you're at, and you know what? Like, you walk away being like, two guys played lights out, blacked out. Those two guys really don't have a chance next week.
Yeah.
There are a lot of players in this field. I'm playing better than everybody. And, you know, I think this was an ideal week. I don't think you necessarily want to win because that it brings a lot of attention, a lot of, like, you know, these are the players that have gone back to back, like, leading, you know, who've won a major after a week they've won. It's not a long list. This is ideal. You play well, you get in the mix, you keep a score, you shoot a really nice Sunday round, and you go to Augusta full of confidence. I think the big thing here, approach play, third in the field. If he's a top 10 approach player with the way he drives the ball,
yeah,
there's not much that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A good. So this was a great week. Hideki, it was just a solid showing for the Texas Open. And we don't always say that. Sometimes you get, you know, like.
Sometimes you get JJ Charlie Spahn Hoffman.
Yeah. I don't want to knock anyone while we're here. But a positive Sunday has us just more excited to watch consequential golf here this week. It's going to be a great week for us. You know why? We're at the Draddy House. We have found. You know, there were some dire years there. We're not like Mark Leishman. We don't make contact every time. We sometimes miss, and we've missed with a few rental houses around Augusta. But we have found a great little setup here, and it is officially back-to-back years of the Draddy House.
How would you describe our house in one word?
Stately.
Stately. I think like I was gonna go charming.
Yeah. I mean, it's got the ceilings, I want to say, are 15 feet. It's like a stately Augusta. It's not
big.
Huge.
It's not big. But
let's just say, you know, we're not selling that much coffee. Let's just put it out. It's great classic house. It's not huge, good part of town, but it is the Dratty house. This is a home run. We want to be here for a long time. Thanks to Dratty. They have supported us. Get us out here again. We've been doing some podcasts with those guys. We were in our Dratty today. This is not the ad read, but you've been jonesing. You've had eyes. You've been looking lustily, if I may say, after this everyday vest. You finally picked one up. It looks like a Brambles. You purchased with your own money. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Did they get you a little discount in the shop there at Bramble? I bet you got a little discount.
I think I paid full price.
All right. You paid for it nonetheless, some amount of money.
I don't know what the full retail is exactly, but I paid.
Good logo on that thing. But you paid your own money.
Designed by a fried egg staffer.
You've been looking at an everyday vest at all these different shops. I've had one. Been looking at me like you.
I've got a lot of vests. Okay. I've got a lot of vests.
Yes.
You know what I didn't have?
Everyday vest.
That's right.
You might have had a Monday vest or a Friday, but you did not have an everyday vest. And this is, it's a great.
I could wear this vest every day this week. Now, people might start looking at me weird, but I could wear it.
Do you think I should test it? You should do it. You should at least wear it. To the media center, the press building, I think is the proper term, every day. But you want to get your
document it each day.
Everyday vest. You could go to bedratty.com and use the promo code SGS30. We were over at the Tree Farm today. They had a bunch of nice Dratty stuff in there, some Dewey.
Unfortunately, what you can't use there, you can't use the SGS30.
No. You're not getting, that doesn't work. Go to bedratty.com. Use the promo code SGS30 on an everyday vest, on a pocket polo, whatever you want. They have been great friends of ours for a long time. This is, like, honestly.
Hey, you know what 30's good on?
What?
The cashmere hoodie.
Everything. Yeah.
That's $200 off.
It's a good chunk of change. They've grown as a brand kind of with this podcast, I think probably in better and different ways than this idiocy, but it's been a great partnership really since we started, and we're so pumped for another Masters Week with them. All right, should we do Liv real quick? Any other cleanup?
Liv or Stephen Fisk beating a 4A guy?
You contended that Rob Oppenheim is a 4A guy. I think you're right. I think that's... He's pretty classic 4A. Kind of been around forever.
I just want to see how many starts he's made. 104 starts.
Yeah, 4A.
I mean, that's like 4 years.
Yeah, kind of. I felt bad for him. Blew it there at the Club Car Championship, the Landings Athletic, whatever it is.
104 starts, 51 cuts made. $2 million.
That's just the guy who comes up in September for some ABs. Career like 205 hitter when he gets to, but like bats like 290 down at AAA. He's not a minor leaguer, but he's just not. He's 4A. Rob Oppenheim. He got a tough break, lost it. So that's your club. The longest.
A couple other things. I wanted to say John Pock hasn't been. Hasn't been like young guy. He finished third. Hopefully a big jumping point from him.
A sensation sort of at that Walker Cup and elsewhere. It's called the Club Car Championship at the Landings Golf and Athletic Club is the full title. And I guess that was like non-negotiable what it had to be called.
Can I ask a question?
What?
Just on the tour website.
Here. Oh, God.
I'm on the tour's website, their leaderboard. If you're FedEx and you signed a $1 billion deal with the tour.
Yeah.
How would you feel about their website at Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern? What, 4 hours?
Yeah.
4 hours after the finish. 3 hours after the finish. Only having the FedEx Cup starting position calculated for each player, but not where they're projected to go.
Current.
How'd you feel about that?
I'd feel not good, but assume no one would notice unless there was this pissant podcast out there trying to proselytize it to the world about how the PGA Tour website is underwhelming this time around. On Live,
Mean Dean.
Dean Burmeester takes Sergio, puts him up.
Do you want a little
unsubstantiated
rumor?
Yeah.
All right. So there are...
You weren't hesitant that you wanted to share this one.
There are players on Live that are like kind of that have like regrets for leaving and are kind of like on this tour looking around like, I can't believe I'm playing here. There are players that have left and gone to Live that think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yep.
Like the greatest place in the world. Mean Dean Burmeester falls into that camp. Apparently is just overjoyed about everything.
Never look back.
Everything Live offers.
Yeah.
And couldn't be happier about where he is.
Well, he
so
won.
For him to win.
Yeah.
I think that's a heartwarming story. The guy's happy where he is.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't make some ridiculous comments about not being in the Masters because he's just happy to be playing at Live.
Yeah. Yeah. Sergio kind of gave him a gift there. Sergio makes like a 50 footer on his 17th hole. I don't know what hole of the course it was. And then misses like a 4 or 5 footer to force the playoff in 18. It's just like, can I be honest for a minute? I got to give Sergio a bit of credit. I'm impressed that he's there. He's battling. He still seems quite competitive. He seems to be leaning into the YouTube stuff with Bryson. Look, my Sergio critiques on this podcast are well documented in other mediums. A lot of his contemporaries just like are nobodies anymore, right? You don't hear about anything from Westy, even Paul Casey, Poulter, Stenson. Phil, even to a certain extent, is just not competitive on Live. I don't know. I find Sergio, would they win the opener, the Fireballs? Like, worst uniforms, among the worst. Sergio's worn some horrendous Adidas kits in his time.
I think
they
shorts,
worse now.
The shorts are causing a problem because he'll wear like the black shoes with the black pants, and there's like red in the shoes. He just looks, he looks like a little kid going to play Little League, but he's a 40-year-old man.
It just looks like he got dressed in the dark. There's nothing going. But I got to give him credit. I'm kind of impressed with him back. Like, he's been a pro now for like 25-plus years. And do I think he could do well at Augusta again? Yeah, I do.
Where would you put him in terms of Augusta? Like, if you just off the top of your head, if you ranked the players out. For this week, what type of range? Are we talking
like 20th?
1 through 10, 10 through 15, 15 through 20?
Probably 15 to 20, somewhere in there.
So, you know, I did this because I'm in this pool, and this was before I did this on the plane out here. Before I'm going to make some adjustments before I send this in. I do a draft. Before this, on Saturday, I had him 28, and I'm kind of looking like where I'll move him up to. And it's kind of in like the Jason Day DJ zone.
Yeah, Jason Day. Scuttlebutt. Jason Day has apparently been here for like 4 months on the short game area, just practicing. I exaggerate, but apparently since like mid last week and just grinding away and was during ANWA.
Just to put it in perspective, he's going to be like 6 or 7 spots ahead of JT.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you. My only hesitancy to not put him higher is like he's done nothing at the Masters since he won it. But I think this week I would be on him. I'm very bullish. I just have a little scar tissue of him not really doing a whole lot since he won. He hasn't had a top 10 since he won the 2017 Masters in any major. That's not just the Masters, but in any majors he's missed like 4 of the 5 cuts and just not been great. So I'm a little hesitant in that regard. But I am sort of impressed with him fighting a little bit.
Any other Live takeaways?
No, not a single other Live takeaway. Seemed like the event went fine.
Rom played well. He's in four. He finished 4th, 3 out of the lead.
Yep.
You got to think he's going to be ready to go. Do you have any
ANWA?
I don't want to like, God, we got to talk about Anwa.
Lottie Woad wins an amazing Anwa.
Was this the best finish of the week?
It feels like it. Yeah. I got to my gate, and she was on 17 fairway, and I was like, well, this just isn't going to happen. And like, you turn your phone off, you like keep going. I get to the baggage claim, and it's like, oh, she won. I was like, what? Didn't get it a playoff. She won outright, and just an incredible finish. I think you had the Shoemaker round, which was sort of like a record round for Augusta. Obviously, not the Champions Retreat record, but it was just a great, great Saturday. It sounds like the conditioning, the course looked great, and the weather was perfect.
I think like a lot of this is it finishes on a Saturday, probably because like Augusta National members want to play golf Sunday afternoon.
They do their little Champions Day, and they play. The members can play with past champs and other.
I think this event is better because it finishes on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that.
Like with the structure of it being three rounds, yeah. Like the finish being on Saturday adds a layer to the event. I thought it was a great tournament. I watched it while I flew over here.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
This is why you love watching sports, right? It looked like she was completely toast after the bogey on 13.
13.
Like you kind of felt like when she got to 13, it's like, okay, she's got to make birdie here.
And grinding for a par on 14.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh boy.
And it's just like, then she birdies three out of the last four.
Yeah.
And wins. Birdieing 17 and 18, brutal holes, like hard holes.
And the putt on 16 was like almost four out of four. It wasn't, there was no weakness there.
Amazing finish, back up against the wall, exactly when you thought you'd count her out, and she does it. Also, like, just a big takeaway. Lottie Woad really won this tournament at Champions Retreat. Shoemaker plays lights out, the best round we've ever seen in the event played at Augusta. It kind of, in a way, and I think this event's really cool, but it illuminates one of the major flaws of this event, that it's played at Champions Retreat, which is a completely different golf course. Like, you almost couldn't design a golf course to be more different than Augusta National. And you play 2/3 of the competition at Champions Retreat, and then you come to Augusta National, and it's 1/3. And it's like, it leaves me wondering what would have happened if all three are played there. And it leaves me just like, I don't know. I think it puts this event into like a little bit of a precarious situation just when you're talking about the event because of how weird the format is. With the practice round the way it's situated, why can't the practice round be before? Why can't everybody play practice rounds at Champions Retreat and it before?
Then
come and you play a three round consecutive tournament. Like, I think as we continue to go on with this, it's been a smash success. I'm super happy it exists. But as we look at this event, like, part of what made the Masters great were the small tweaks that they made along the way early on that made it better. And, like, I have to say, like, this event is wonderful, but it's extremely flawed right now. Like, I don't think it's necessarily... it is flawed, though. And it's like, this is a silly format for a golf tournament.
I think it's unique. I don't know.
Unique is a nice way to put
it. Yeah. I mean, the USAM, you have to play on two courses. I know that's qualifying.
Stroke.
I know. I'm not saying it's a apples to apples comparison at all. It's quirky for sure. It's weird, but they spun it up. They're doing it. It's clearly elevated the women's amateur golf. Like, also there's these women, like, you're seeing them year over year. Shoemaker's going to be there the next 4 years, probably.
What if Lindblad's
been around forever.
She may never leave.
Drew Timmy of the Anwa. Just never.
I was Googling, like, what players play the most NCAA tournaments.
Was he up there? Timmy had to be.
I couldn't find the list. I gave this like 10 seconds of Google time.
Yeah. So anyway, it was. And Augusta, look, like, there are a lot of thuds. A lot of look.
The course looked great.
There are some bounces. So we'll see. This had me excited for this week. You mentioned the format. Let's get to notebook time. This is like one of those urban legends. Unsubstantiated rumor. The kind of things you get around Augusta. It's inoffensive and harmless. But like this, apparently it's rampant rumor around here that they're looking at purchasing or renovating Forest Hills, which is another municipal golf course in town, and they would do the ANWA there the first few rounds. I don't know if that's going to happen. Seems like the kind of thing you can make up. Like Augusta's looking at buying this property and building this. Like that's just always a persistent sort of, you know, whispering about Augusta. What are they going to do next around town? This is one that's hot right now is that they would do ANWA at the Forest Hills course in town. So who knows if that happens. What else you got from the day? Starting to acquire some nuggets.
This will be a hotbed, a little bit of a, you know, I mean, maybe this is the first anti-hoodie take. You know, the golf world loved to say that everybody hated golf hoodies. The world loved to just put it out there that there was this legion of golfers that was resisting hoodies being allowed to play. Well, we haven't had any proof of this. It's just been, you know, influencers putting it out there themselves that this existed.
Just straw men shouting about
it. I guess allegedly. Unsubstantiated rumor. Augusta National does not allow guests to play in sweater hoodies.
Which
as
are
they are
all
deemed.
The rage, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like Sunday Red is making the first ever cashmere sweater hoodie, apparently.
Allegedly,
even though you have one from Bijarati.
Another thing that they're doing.
This is great.
They've no longer allowed guests to play in five pocket pants.
Guests or members. Like, yeah. This is not for the Masters, I think. Let's be clear, because those are pretty ubiquitous on tour. The five-pocket pants.
So think about, like, the pants that are, like, styled kind of more like jeans but are khakis.
The hands go in the front,
yeah,
not the side pocket, more or less.
So if you have that little fifth pocket, that little tiny fifth pocket that you could put any of a number of things in, depending on what you're into in life,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
That pocket... That is not allowed at Augusta National. You got to go with the
traditional khaki. Chino or something like the five pocket pants being a new frontier of the.
Now, of course, you'll see players wearing these this week.
The Masters tournament.
But this is more around guest play.
Yeah, five pocket pants, hoodies. Apparently, you're supposed to show up at a blazer as well. So it's just kind of like reestablishing the attire requirements at Augusta National. What else do we have? Oh, apparently, there's a new like a more permanent. Concession stand near 8. I was told they built a new one, two stories underneath.
Wow.
Because two stories to store all the beer and Coca-Cola and things like that, because they want their pimento cheese sandwiches being smushed. You don't want to smush, you know, you need more space.
That's a good point.
They're building down. This is where they build under where they create a lot more space, whether that's apparently the new pro shop. They built a new place on 8 for concessions, it looks like, food. And beverage. What else did we hear? Oh, another urban legend we heard today. Another urban legend one. Did you want to talk about the Phil?
I wanted to talk about the pimento sandwiches.
What about it?
Do you think that's now like a tip, an insider tip?
What?
The 8th concession stand is going to have the best pimento cheese sandwiches.
They'll be mush. They won't
be. You don't have to worry about it being smushed.
A little more elbow room over there for the sandwiches.
I bet it's also probably a little bit more efficient. That's just like not that high trafficked of an area.
Yeah.
That's a good concession stand to hit.
Yep. What else do we have? Oh, Phil, you want to talk about the Phil urban legend we heard today? Phil playing from the members tee, allegedly played right-handed and shot even par. Just one of those, right? Wasn't that it?
Yeah.
From the members tee? Who knows if that happened? But these are the kind of things you hear around here. That would be crazy, right? Playing right-handed, shooting even. Members
insane.
Is like 65.
Absolutely.
Who knows if it happened?
Insane.
Yeah. And then an ANWA one. A great ANWA one. Apparently. Now, this is substantiated. This is reporting. Someone was right behind Lottie's dad. So she... has tied the lead. She's got a putt to win it. Someone was right behind Lottie Woad's dad and her coach. The security guard taps the dad on the shoulder. As Lottie was reading her putt, the security guard says pretty sternly, "Remember, this is the Masters, not the U.S. Open. No yelling, no yelling." Now, this is could be probably just an overzealous security guard, right? I think going to the father of the lady lining up the putt to win to remind them this is not the no yelling, not the U.S. Open.
Do you think
is out of line a little bit? Overzealous.
Do you think Tiger's kids yelled when he won the 2019 Masters?
Charlie and Sam.
Yeah. Do you think they jumped up and down?
I don't. Yeah, I think it's just a lone. It's a lone rogue security guard.
I don't
guard,
think this
right?
was the intention of Augusta National.
Sure.
I think this was more a security guard. You know, listen. Having been at a good amount of tournaments, security guards can get overzealous.
Oh yeah, or the
it's a hard
marshal,
job. It's
yeah.
a hard job. You get worn down. You get worn down all day.
Yep. I think anything else you got to clean up? Any other little tidbits? We got a few. We'll keep for the notebook.
That's it. We gotta keep some bullets in the holster.
Maybe
here.
DJ. Hearing good things about DJ. Who knows? A gambling podcast. So, you know, keep an
Are
eye.
Are you
on
worried
DJ.
About Brooks?
No,
he played terrible.
I'm not especially worried about Brooks.
Do you think Mean Dean should be here?
I'm ambivalent on the question. I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say yes.
Do you think Talora Gooch is the best iron player of the last 20 years?
I think it was the best iron player that Greg Norman has seen, which is fine. That could be a very small subset. Who knows what he's doing?
He broadcasted the 2015 U.S. Open.
Fine. Yeah, sure. So he saw speed. Preeminent driving iron play from speed that week. I don't know. No, that seems like Greg getting a little over... exaggerating. So, all right, I think that does it for this Monday episode. Everyone enjoy.
Past champion, you're most sad not playing this week.
Woozy, how could it be anybody else?
I think the Woozy's one answer. The other one's Sandy or not Sandy Lyle. Larry Mize. We don't get to see Larry Mize versus Bryson
taking his
part
hacks.
Four.
Yeah, just lashes from the three wood from every hole. Yeah.
We have been robbed this year of Larry Mize v. Bryson.
Yep. So we'll have a full daily podcast coming this week. You know, we'll have our preview podcast out Tuesday night, Wednesday morning.
We're gonna have people running through here. We might have a little bonus episode tomorrow.
Here and there.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe a one take pod like we did last year. Everybody stay safe on Monday with the eclipse. I know there's kids getting out of school and everything. It's just it's a national story. You know, it only happens every 5 years. But we will talk to you on Wednesday. Enjoy your Monday.